Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today we're going to start a new series. It's called The Grace of Generous Giving. You said, oh boy. Oh boy. Get yourself, come on, applaud them. We're going to learn something about this. Brother Lee kind of opened the door for me, so I'm going to go right in the door. All right, we're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. You'll get the responding verses on the screen behind me. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to, verse 9, sorry. Arise. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.
And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterwards take some for yourself and your son.
For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Verse 16, the bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this is going to be an enlightening and a challenging, but also a freeing introduction to what it means to be a generous giver. And Lord, we're going to resolve this whole issue today, hopefully, for those who struggle with the idea that, what's this idea of God being first and, you know, ignoring widows and this type of thing? God, help us to look at it from a whole different perspective. And today, Lord, we're going to just begin this journey. And Lord, during this whole process, Lord, there'll be something that'll be released in us forever that we'll always be trusting in you and responding to you in ways that are meaningful. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Well, we're at that time of year, the closing of the year, actually kind of rushes toward Thanksgiving, which is a time when we all should be thankful as far as that's concerned. But, you know, as we gather together and we exchange gifts with folks, and you know, many of us, it's a cause of anticipation for some, but on the other hand, it's tension and pressure for others. Some people don't like Christmas. They don't like Thanksgiving. They don't like any of those things because it's a reminder either of the lack that they have or their desire not to be with other folks. Somehow, some things have been shut down. Giving has always and always will be, and it begins with God, and it ends with God. And here's a statement that I'll make. It's not my quote, but it goes like this. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. We can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. That means, how does this really work? Well, I believe there's two questions we'll approach today. Number one, why does God test the validity of our generosity by insisting to be first? You say, wow, cut to the chase, why not? But he does. He insists on being first. You're saying, well, that's kind of arrogant. When you owned everything and you did everything, really? But let's move on to the second one. It's not any more relieving, but here we go. What can be done to displace the fear of giving? Those are two things I believe that God's going to work with us today and will help us. And of course, the most appropriate chapter to go to in the Old Testament, some people don't want to look at it, but let's go there. Malachi 3:10. God requires to be first in giving. Here we go. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You say, what kind of deal is this? First of all, God says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Now, for those of you who don't realize what tithing means, tithing is 10%. For those of you, it's a tenth of what you have. But he says, bring in the storehouse. And this is the only place in the Bible, the only place in the Bible where God says, try me. Only place. So, why would it have to be in giving? Why couldn't he find something else? And that's so personal. You're right. But notice the promise. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, I want you to shift your mind right at this point off of money and answer this question. Has God blessed you? Amen. With just the country you live in. Crazy as this election happens to be, honey, you're doing good. Because I know some places that don't even have half of the opportunity and blessing. Why don't you tell him thank you and I say, thank you, Jesus, because I'm here. Because if we want to start off with thanksgiving, then God can do some things in our life. Well, anyway, it's generosity of the heart and not the pocketbook that really counts. Loving God demands giving. It just does. And for some of you, it's going to be a freeing opportunity because he does not, you know, here's the thing I need to make clear to you. God does not need your money. God is not broke. He's not on the dole. He's not on welfare. He doesn't have an EBT card or whatever kind of cards they have. But we're going to get to some places. Our greatest need is to experience the love through acts of sacrifice. Now, I wrote this down this morning, so I have to read from here. Giving is a reminder of where things come from. Really? The Bible says this, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Everything comes from him. So that being an alignment of things, this story we'll get into, I want to just give you a little backdrop on the story. Story of Elijah and the widow, the reason why things are so tight at this point is that the first part of this chapter, Elijah, because of judgment on Israel, he commands, there's not going to be any more rain. And if you pick it up in verse 1, it says this, and Elijah the Tishbite, it says, as the Lord of God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word. Who has the power to do something like that? Evidently, God is working in Elijah's life, and he's going to say, you know what? God has told me something. It's not going to rain until the next time he tells me it's going to rain, then I'll tell you when it's going to happen. But until then, no more rain. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. It not only affected Elijah, but it affected the whole countryside to the point where he's out sitting by a brook, and one day, the brook dries up. He's having ravens that are feeding him, and the ravens didn't show. And then God gives him another word. And this is where our story really nestles itself, in the fact that God says, he says something that doesn't make any logical sense. And I want to tell you that giving doesn't always make sense. Matter of fact, and sometimes it makes no sense. So he says, God's servant. He submitted to God's authority. And, you know, he's used to operating under the instructions of the Lord. And I want to tell you today, some of us have got a problem being under authority. Don't be laughing. You know how it is. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Sign says no parking. Said, I'm going to just park here for a minute. They better not put something on my windshield. Really? And then you get all mad and sideways and you just, you know, cussing and fussing. Yeah, do Christians cuss? Oh, yeah, they do. Because we don't like authority. But look how this thing unfolds. He says, and the Lord's here in life. He says, and go to Zarephath, to Sidon, and I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Oh, isn't that handy? A widow? Really? A widow? But I want to tell you, this whole wave of commandment and provision is woven through Scripture from the beginning to end, because God uses some of the most unlikely people to do His will. That's why you're a candidate. Point your finger and say, it could be me. Go ahead, point like this. It could be me. It is. So he makes this bold proclamation, and God will often make supernatural provisions for us, and so Elijah experiences that. But he commands the widow to provide for Elijah, and God will supply the needs through a source of supply that obviously the resources, we're going to find out real quickly, really aren't that plentiful. And so he goes into town, and he, you know, finds the widow, and he just says something pretty simple. Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Test number one. There's a drought in the land. Even a little cup of water is a whole lot. Now, can I just kind of get into your heart and not your head for a moment? That the idea behind it of someone that it's like they're insensitive to what's going on. And says, you'd ask me for water when you know it's kind of a rarity here? How dare you? But there's something that you forget. God says, I've commanded this woman, I've gotten into her spirit, that when you ask for this, there will be no resistance. Can I ask what's in your spirit? What can God ask of you where there'll be no resistance? Because that is the true foundation of the grace that's involved in generous giving. It's a grace that only God can install, that you allow Him to, that'll bring you to a place of generosity where you don't even think about it. Now, that's the first test, the water test. You know, bring me a little cup. And so she's feeling pretty good about that. Well, not really pretty good, but she says, well, I guess I can do that. Here's the part about it, is there's certain things that are required. I said, well, it is kind of difficult, but I can do that. But there will always be a follow-up of something where generous giving will take over. Now, let's go back into the story for a moment. So, Elijah's first request is the test of faith. Now, we know about the drought and this type of thing, but here's the thing. The secondary request was a test of what God had put in her heart. And so let's go back to the story. I'll read it to you again. He says, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Now here's where it kicks in for you and for me. Here's your water. But all of a sudden, it races through our head the idea of bread, little mound of flour, a little bit of oil I got in there. And actually, I was out here gathering sticks because this is going to be our last meal. I want to take you to that place where you felt as though you were pushed to your limits. To the place where you pretty much resolved, well, this is it. And maybe you're there today. But I believe the Holy Spirit is going to ferry you over a difficult place as we just kind of extract from this scripture some things that will be helpful for us. Our faith to give will be tested by our willingness to look beyond our circumstances. I've seen abuses to offerings. I remember one time I was at this revival meeting. I guess it was a revival meeting. The guy was there, he knew how to raise offerings. The offering went on for an hour and 15 minutes. Oh, yes, it did. He just, everybody here that's going to give $20. I mean, it went from the 50s to 20s to ones to change. And I remember this little lady, as a matter of fact, this is coming back and coming into view. There was this little old lady there, and so she got up and she had a little change purse in her hand, and she's kind of fiddling with it. And he says, "I see you there." Because he asked for all the change. He said, we got down to the change thing. Change, give God change, and it will change your life. How about that? How about a gimmick? Whoa. And the lady looks back, she says, "This money here, this is my money to get my, this is my bus fare home." The guy walks over to her, takes the money out of her hand, says, "God, give her a ride home." Seriously. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But the crazy thing about it is, she had more rides home than anybody. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, a guy took her home in a Mercedes. I'm not saying the guy was right what he did, but you know what? When you're afraid, you're not. God can provide for you even when people are crazy. I'm serious. Because he's you know what? God is your provider. I need to tell you that right now. You are not your provider. God is your provider. So, you can dismiss that from your mind. You don't need to use that anymore, just for a moment. But here's the deal. The man of God requested that she bring something that would challenge her faith. And it simply means this. She believed that she only had enough to make a little biscuit for her and her son, and death was imminent. What's your limit? What's your threshold of pain? Where's your threshold where you don't believe you can go one step further? That's where we're going today. Because if you think this is just about giving money, forget it. I want to take you over the edge of the place where you think you cannot go, where God cannot provide for you. And so he says to her, here's what I want you to do. This is great. Go in there and fix yourself your last meal, but here's what I want you to do. Fix me something first. Whoa! Huh? And see, that's the place where we get stuck. Is how can God demand me to do something for him first when he sees how bad off I'm about to die? Can I get into your heart for a moment? Would God require of you something that is going to absolutely devastate you? I don't believe so. But it's at that particular moment we've declared where we're at. But remember, go back to something that she doesn't really truly understand. But he says, I've commanded this woman to take care of you. And so she's going to reach into a place that she hasn't reached before and find the faith to be obedient to what she's told, even when it doesn't make sense. It'll unfold a little bit more because she knew that he was sent by God, but had to look past her circumstances to find obedience to fulfill the request. And then here comes the word of the Lord, the part that I think we all enjoy. Then we'll go a little bit further with this story. He says these words to her, and the Lord said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a cake first." And then he follows it up with, "The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." I want to shift this just for a moment, and I'll come back to the whole idea about giving. I want to take you to the place where you feel emotionally bankrupt because you've done everything you believe that you can to get something fixed in your life or someone else's life. I want to take you to that place where God is telling you, he says, "I want you to do this, and don't worry about that." I want you to do this for me first. And if you do this for me first, the rest of it will be taken care of. Generous giving is not always about money. It's about you being obedient to what God tells you that you feel that you really cannot do. Well, shifting gears for that, we must overcome fear, the fear of giving what we think we cannot afford to. Back to verse 13, it says the idea, it says, you know, afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Afterward. I know you've seen these things at various places. People try to rush to be first. Wait till they have, you know, flat screens for $100 during the, you know, Black Friday. Sleeping bags, trailers, tents, whatever. All to be first. Park out for 3 days, lose 3 days' wages to buy a $100 TV. I mean, people are stupid. They are stupid. But I got a deal. You are crazy. It's amazing some of the things we'll do to be first. But God says, you don't have to be first in the situation. If you will choose to do it my way, I'm going to take care of you for a long, long time. Let's unpack this. Fear is the greatest obstacle to generous giving, and it means this. We believe that we cannot afford to give because our need is greater than we can afford to give. I don't have any money, or I don't have enough money. There's a law that we're going to get into in a few weeks called the law of sowing and reaping, and it has nothing to do with you know, trying to talk you out of your money. It doesn't have anything. But there's one principle that you cannot defy in the Bible. It says, as you sow, so shall you reap. It covers kindness, it covers finances, it covers, you know, if you sow anger, you reap. I mean, it's one of those sowing and reaping type things. But it goes a little bit further than that. God does not want all that we have, but he desires to be first in what we have. Wow. Back to that scripture. The Lord says, bring a tenth of what you have and see if I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and bless you with what you cannot contain. You're thinking, that's a good investment. If you see it as an investment, it's not going to work. What? Well, it's a promise at the end of it. No, but I don't care if you get triple the money or quadruple the money you have. The obedience part of it is when you see that God deserves to be first. Not the fact you did it. Well, okay, I did it. Heart wasn't in it, but I did it. Here, God, here's your 10%. Let's see, I made $198. That's $19.80. Here yours. This is mine. Here's your side of the pile, and this is mine. We got a ways to go. I got a few more minutes to fix this for you, okay? Obedience and giving is the key to supernatural provision. That's what it is. Because once you've done your part here, you just kind of walk away from it, and all of a sudden God shows up with things that you never could have dreamed of, nor could you have put it together if you tried on your best day. What? Well, how about this? God's word promises a reward of provision to those who will put him first, and it means this. God had put faith in the woman's heart to do what Elijah requested. It's there, and here's what God wants us to do. I want you to do something. The faith to do what God is telling you to do is in you right now. I want you to, if you can get faith for this, I want you to repeat these words with me. It's there. And I need to release it. Say it again. It's there. And I need to release it. One more time. It's there. And I need to. The faith is already there. Faith without releasing it will go absolutely. Oh, I believe God can do this. Then what are you doing about it? Well, I did it before and it didn't work. God is not a it didn't work. Well, I'll get to the next page. That's your healing zone, this page. I know it is. The woman only had to believe the word of the Lord over her life to receive the promise of God. But by following through with what was required, she would receive an abundant reward. Here's the problem that I believe that I have. I'll go inside of me. Is I'll get halfway through the process of what God has told me to do, and then I begin to evaluate before I finish the whole process. Doesn't look like anything's changing. Seems like it was just like it was before. The cake came out of the oven. I put it in front of him, and nothing changed. The oil is still empty. There's no more flour in the bin. Here's the problem. We cannot trust in systems. Okay, here we go. Back first miracle. Got to take you the first miracle of Jesus. We're going back to basics. Jesus 101. Get water pots. Fill them with water. Huh? One of the guys there, I'm sure there was one of you guys that was with them. Said, hey, can you tell me why we put water in these water pots? I heard where they ran out of wine and they were putting water in water pots. What difference is that going to make? Your friends will talk you out of the miracle that God has for you. When you listen to the people, when you look at their faces, when they allow you and talk you out of what God told you to do, that's the reason why you are still where you are. Because you forgot what God told you to do. And you relied upon your logic and what you knew to be true. But I want to tell you, your logic has no place with God's miracle working in your life. Water pots, fill them up with water. You know, there's one part of that story I really love. He says, fill them to the brim. But you know why I finally figured that out, why God wanted to fill to the brim? It's for all you skeptics that couldn't see in the water pot. When he turned water into wine, they didn't have to look down inside. That was the water. Woo, look at that. Right up there where you can see it. God's miracle is revealed so the whole world can see it. But you know what? It was upon the obedience of servants that did something that did not make sense. In the same way that this widow is kind of struggling, could have been struggling with this. But you remember, God placed something in her heart. I've got to race on to this real quickly. Okay, generous giving is always a faith response toward what does not seem logical. When we give in spite of our need, we open our hearts to God's provision. Here's another place. When we put the needs of others before our own, we will find the heart of God and the joy of serving. The best days of my life, and I say this without any reservation, has been the joy of serving others. Those are the best days of my life. Want to feel really depressed? Serve yourself over and over and over again, and you'll get tired of you. You say, I am so sick of me, and I've had enough of me, and I'm done with me. I mean, you aren't even good company to yourself. Let me help you with this, okay. Oh, Jesus. That's why you're calling somebody on the phone, because you're so tired of you. Anyway. Real love requires a willing sacrifice. 2 Samuel 24, verses 22 to 24. This is great. Now, Arunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look. Here are oxen for burnt sacrifices and threshing implements and the yokes of the oxen for wood. And these, O king, Arunah has given to the king. And Arunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Go on. The next verse. Then the king said to Arunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer a burnt offering to the Lord my God, with which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Here's our problem. We're glad to give to God, but it don't cost us nothing. Somebody gives you something, you re-gift it. Oh, you don't be looking at me funny. That's what you do. You didn't have no use for it. You didn't like it. You just wrapped it up and gave it to somebody else. Didn't cost you nothing. And they say, "Oh, he's so wonderful." No, he ain't wonderful. He didn't like it. He gave it to you, baby. Aren't you feeling generous right now? Because you look and say, "Oh, Lord, I did that. Yes, I did that the other day. Lord, have mercy." But I dare you to overhear something that somebody really needs. And God says, go buy it for them anonymously and don't put your name on it. I want to start introducing you right now into generous giving, that God is going to give you an opportunity to change your profile of being an opportunist and a person who just kind of goes around, you know, this time you want to feel like you're whatever you are. But God is going to show you how to be a generous giver in such a way that you're being motivated by the power of the Spirit to make a difference in someone's life. David says, thanks for the oxen. He says, but I'm going to pay you for this, because if I'm going to offer them to the Lord, there's got to be a cost involved. See, we can come here and worship God, and we worship God until, you know, I just need to sit down. I need to take my rest here. Well, they got two more songs and I'll be fine. Because you got to your threshold of, and I'm not talking about pain, but you got a threshold of, I told God I was going to give him two songs a day and that, I'm good. It didn't cost you anything. But worship has to go beyond your ability or your rationality of what you feel is appropriate. You go beyond that place because I want to offer God everything, and I don't care how much it costs. He deserves everything that I can give. Generous giving. We've not truly worshiped God until we've sacrificed. True giving demands a sacrifice. The first sacrifice given to the Lord required that God receive the best. Real quick, back into history, Cain and Abel. If you don't know the story of Cain and Abel, they're brothers. And God demands a sacrifice. And so, you know, Cain says, I had a good harvest of crop here. I'm going to get some vegetables and stuff, throw it on the altar, and that'll take care of it. But Abel went and found, and there was a blood sacrifice that was given, and he gave the best that he had. I won't unpack it totally, but one, it didn't cost him anything, because that ground's going to reproduce and produce more vegetables. But once that lamb or cattle was slain, it's gone forever. Here, let me help you with this. One thing you cannot replace in your life is time. The time you spend here today, you will never get it back. As a matter of fact, your expiration date will now be an hour and a half closer. Isn't that encouraging? You're now an hour and a half closer to the time we'll say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, she gone now, she gone, baby gone. Sugar is gone. But I want you, as you're investing your time in God, or anything you're investing in, let it be counted as a sacrifice unto him that is sends forth a savor by the Holy Spirit that will account unto righteousness, that you will glorify him with your life. Amen. Let me get to a conclusion with this, all of this. The first sacrifice, as it was, God has been demonstrated that sacrifice through Jesus. He gave us Jesus. Here's one last little mention. The measure of giving does not compare to what God desires. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. This is a great story. But I started with a widow, I'll end with a widow. And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in her two mites. And he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in the offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Okay, I'm going to go ahead of some of you folks right now. What you want me to do, empty my bank account? Is that what you want? You want to prove something to you? I'm going to empty my bank account so I love God. For some of you, it wouldn't hurt. Because you're stressing and you check your bank account 2-3 times a day. Well, I'm going to leave that alone because I could get fired up. I'm going to leave it alone. Jesus, keep me, okay? But we can get stuck on money. But when it comes to worship, this woman, they all came up to, remember, they're coming to the house of God to worship God. The widow, she had two mites. She says, you know what? God deserves it all. He took care of me this far. He's going to take care of me. Here you go, God. Well, God does not look so much at what we give, but rather what we have left after we've given. We must not think in terms. You remember this old phrase? Give until it hurts. No, mine is give until it doesn't hurt. That turns it around, doesn't it? And I'll tell you when it doesn't hurt, when you realize it wasn't yours in the first place. How are you going to get hurt over something that wasn't yours? See, I'll give all the stuff you got away. It don't hurt me nothing. I'll give all your stuff away. Get in your house and say, ooh, take this TV. Ooh, they ain't using this. Oh, go ahead, drive that car. Yeah, go. Here's the keys to the Mercedes. Go ahead, help yourself. It ain't mine. But I want to tell you, it ain't yours. And once you get to that place, I'll tell you what, there's freedom. And this is just the introductory part. You said, oh, Lord, this is going to be a rough. I dare you to come back to see what else God's going to tell you. But putting God first is a priority, and not a position. We must live our life in a constant awareness that he deserves first consideration regarding everything we do. The widow that Elijah approached was given grace to put the needs of Elijah before her own. And God will give you the grace to be a generous giver. The fear of death was in this woman as she's gathering her sticks. And here comes Elijah. He says, could I have a cup of water? She kind of looks at him and says, oh, okay. Oh, by the way, when you're going to get the water, could you make me something to eat? A little cake. And for a moment, she was kind of, say, well, let me explain to you what you're asking for. I'm about ready to die. I was going to fix something for my son and I to eat. Now, you note that she didn't say, I won't do it. And that's important. See, God is wise enough to allow you to declare what your intentions were, but you're willing to hear of a greater response. Because a woman obviously feared God. And she's willing for that word of God's faithfulness to be spoken to her heart. He says, ma'am, go ahead and fix this cake. But the only thing I'll tell you to do in order for this to work, bring me mine first. Here's the deal. Are you willing to make God first? The widow in the New Testament carried the same spirit as the widow in the Old Testament. She put her complete trust in the one who gave her the two mites. She was willing to release everything she possessed to worship the God of all provision. But here's the big piece. She gave it without regret. Worship team, come back up here. We're going to finish this off. I want to kind of drive that point home. Because that's the paralysis that will get involved in people's lives. Is regret. Because we have a certain preoccupation or expectation of what we think or believe God should do because we were obedient. And I've been in church long enough and have seen enough people who have been disillusioned in all kinds of different ways at churches and pastors and evangelists and this type of thing. But you know, I found there's a core about, or a kind of a thread through this whole thing. And it usually goes back to money. What? Oh yeah, there's illnesses and divorces type of thing, but the big thread goes back to money. And if there's one thing I want us to begin our journey on, is to allow God to install within us the grace of generous giving. I believe for those who have struggled with finances or with giving, they're just one step away from freedom by allowing God to install the grace within them to be obedient to do exactly what he tells them to do. Remember, Elijah got instructions from God. He says, go to Zarephath, and I have commanded a woman there to take care of you. I don't think she totally knew it. I don't think she had a revelation or an angel that appeared to her. But when she saw and when she believed upon the man of God, when he spoke to her, something of her faith ignited. She says, you know what? God is going to do this through this man. I'm going to believe God for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, how's this going to tie into where we are today? Just listen, and I think you'll help. It'll help you. Little song we learned a few weeks ago. Jesus is here. Everything I need is here. We're going to sing that song in a moment. But I want to put you to a place in your life right now where hopefully you'll be willing to make this confession. Everything you need is in Jesus. You say, how can that possibly be? You don't know my financial situation. You don't know my emotional situation. You don't know my health situation. You don't know this particular thing. I know Jesus. And once you have him, he has you, there should be no fear any longer, because he will perfect those things that concern you. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, I want to speak towards some struggles of people that are sitting in this room right now. There are several people here struggling with forgiveness over sins they've committed this last week, or maybe something they're in perpetually, they haven't been able to shake, a habit. Before I want you to shift off the money thing, I want you to shift to the place of the person Jesus being installed in your life, the money thing solved. But I want you to put Jesus in the foremost place of your life, that everything you do is filtered through him, and the giving, the other thing is solved. I'll be repeating this again, but I'm saying it for this crowd right now. For the sin that has beset you, for the problem that you're facing, Jesus is your answer. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask people today to say, and remember, this isn't an altar call about money. I want you to get away from that. It's about worship. It's about you giving yourself 100% to Jesus, and any hindrance that keeps you from doing that. You're going to say, Pastor, I'm going to walk down this aisle today. I'm going to leave doubt, fear, unbelief, old relationships, habits, other things that would keep me from being told. a total worshiper of Jesus, I'm willing to leave those things behind. So I'm going to pray this in Jesus' name. That, Lord, this whole idea about generous giving is the very most generous thing, or the most important thing for us to give to you today is ourselves. Lord, when you said it in Malachi, you're saying, you know, bring it into my storehouse, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out on you things you can't even receive. It'll be more than you can handle in some ways. Lord, I break off the curse of failed efforts. I break off the curse of things that would dominate folks' minds, that would make them indifferent toward the things of God. I break off the curse of bad decisions. Lord, we put this all in your hands today. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, if Jesus, not if, since Jesus is speaking to you, are you ready to respond to him? Whether it's for salvation, whether it's for healing, whether it's for restoration. Are you willing to come to Jesus today and let him take care of you? If you are, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, yep, I'm ready. It's going to happen today. Lift your hand.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.